All right, so here's what we're going to do. It was great to pray for Matt and Becca just now. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 4. Like I said, I'm going to shorten the message. We've been studying Luke 4, and we're going to keep studying Luke. And this is where Jesus reads from Isaiah, a messianic prophecy about himself. So I'm going to read it this week from the Message translation. That way some of you have heard it the past couple weeks won't get bored. But it's good to read from a different translation because then it can speak to you more. You hear it in a different tone. So Jesus was handed a scroll. He was in the synagogue, and he found the place where it was written, "God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act, or the year of God's favor." I'll just pause there. So Becca and Matt, the burden that you feel for the people where you live and that they're oppressed, that's like what we've been studying the past weeks. Jesus came to free the oppressed. So that's God's burden. Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him, intent. Then he started in, "You've just heard Scripture make history. It came true just now in this place." All who were there watching and listening were surprised at how well he spoke. But they also said, "Isn't this Joseph's son, the one we've known since he was a youngster?" He answered, "I suppose you're going to quote the proverb, 'Doctor, go heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we heard you did in Capernaum.' Well, let me tell you something. No prophet is ever welcomed in his hometown. Isn't it a fact that there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah during the 3.5 years of drought when famine devastated the land? But the only widow to whom Elijah was sent was in Sarepta and Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one cleansed was Naaman the Syrian." That set everyone in the meeting place seething with anger. They threw him out, banishing him from the village, then took him to a mountain cliff at the edge of the village to throw him to his doom. But he gave them the slip and was on his way. All right, Father God, I just pray that you would help me speak from this, the few points you want everyone to get, that would build our faith in you, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Jesus came to set you free, and he wants you to believe that. We're all oppressed by sin, our upbringing, different things in our lives. Jesus came to set you free. And Jesus came to set people around you free. And so the more experience that we have of Jesus' freedom, the more we have to share with people around us, okay? So number one and two, Jesus wants to set me free, if you're doing the outline. And number two, freely I have received, freely I will give. Now, when Jesus gave this message, there's two responses. One is, wow, you know, look at what's coming out of Jesus' mouth. He's amazing. And then at the same time, people are saying, like, look, we've known this guy since he was a little kid, and his dad's a carpenter. Who does he really think he is? The prophet, the Messiah? And so there's this dichotomy. There's the struggle, what seems a contradiction to them. So Jesus knew that, and he said, well, you might quote to me the prophet, you know, "Doctor, heal yourself. What we heard that you did over in Capernaum, 15, 20 miles north of here, let's see you do it here." And then he goes on to talk about the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. So I want to think about this for a few minutes. Was the prophet Elijah well received in Israel? No. Okay. So, in fact, he had to run from Ahab the king. Ahab and Jezebel promoted idolatry, and he ended up being sent by God to a nation of the north, Sidon, where a widow took care of him, providentially. It was supernatural. So Jesus is looking at them saying, you know, when God's people reject the prophets, he sends them to the Gentiles. He sends them to the people who haven't heard about him yet. Luke, in his gospel, is always concerned about the Gentiles. He's concerned about other peoples besides the Jews. It's not just that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. He's the Messiah for all peoples. So on your outline, bringing the good news always brings opposition. It at times will bring rejection. And so the next point, we must stop looking for people's approval. Can you say amen to that? Okay, that's just our natural inclination. This was one of the things I preached on at the beginning of the year, that people's approval is a snare to us. It stumbles us all the time. You have God's approval because you have faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. And number five, are you concerned for unbelievers around you? So the last 2 weeks, I had a little prayer card for people from our church to write down the names of who's burdened around you, who's oppressed. Start praying for them. Start looking for ways to listen to them, to eat with them, to serve them, to share your story with them, to live out the bless strategy that we have. Look for ways to do that. Matt and Becca, again, we commend you for living this way, and we're proud of you for it. And we want to do this in Boston. Amen? All right. Now let's move on to Elisha, and here's the main point. How many of you are familiar with the story of Elisha and Naaman? Naaman was an army general for the enemy of Israel, Syria. He had leprosy, and as Jesus refers here, he was healed. Now, this is an important question. For those of you who are familiar with the story, what was the key and most important part of that story that enabled Naaman to be healed? Somebody raise their hand and take a stab at it. What's the most important element? What's the most important part? Good. Perfect. That is an excellent answer, but that's not the one I'm looking for. There's something preceding that that's more important, Abigail. Okay, that's my opinion. That is the most important thing, was the little girl's faith. If you don't know the story, Naaman is this big general. They go into Israel. They destroy villages. They capture people. They brought this little girl from Israel back. He contracts leprosy. And at one point, the little girl says to his wife, gee, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. Then he'd heal him of his leprosy. It's like, wow. Just like that. Yeah, just go. You'll be healed. She had faith. And so our message today is have faith in God. If that little girl didn't have faith, then Naaman never would have heard about the power to heal in Israel, so he never would have gone there. He probably wouldn't have been healed of his leprosy. So I'm going to go through the story a little more because the first answer is also very important. So there's faith throughout the whole way. So number six, faith is contagious. So we have a little girl who says, the prophet in Israel can heal you. She's bragging on God. I mean, she just believes God's big, God can heal, God wants to heal. Too bad you can't, you know, be healed by the God of Israel. So Naaman responds in faith, goes to his king and says, can I go see the prophet in Israel? That king responds in faith and says, great idea. Gives him gold and silver and sends him to the king of Israel with a letter. And the king of Israel reads the letter and the letter says, please heal my servant Naaman. And this king responds in panic and dismay. He rips his clothes like, am I God? He's looking for a reason to invade and attack us. Well, then Elisha hears about the king. Elisha is the prophet. And, of course, he has faith. And he goes, well, send him to me. He goes, he'll find there's a real prophet of God in Israel. Does that sound like bragging? Yeah, it does. But was it bragging? No. There was a real prophet of God in Israel, and he knew God wanted to heal him. So Naaman comes, but then Elisha doesn't even do him the service of meeting with him in person. He just sends a servant, give this message, tell Naaman to wash 7 times in the river Jordan, and he'll be clean. Well, then Naaman gets angry. So then Naaman has a loss of faith. And he's angry. He said, I thought he'd call in the name of his God and wave his arms back and forth and cure me. And so one of the, number 7, God did not do what Naaman thought he should do. Have any of you ever found that happen to you? Yeah. Join the club, Naaman. But Naaman's servants responded in faith, and they said, well, if he asked you to do something great, you'd do it. So if he asked you to do something simple, why don't you just go wash 7 times in the Jordan River and see what happens? So Naaman had to revive his faith and obey the word of the Lord, and he went. And because he responded in faith and obeyed, after 7 dips in the Jordan River, he was healed. So what's the message for us today? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe God's word. For some of you, there's a friend of mine who lived in our neighborhood for years, and he fell off a roof and broke his foot very, very badly. It turned black, and he came to David and me with some other needs. We prayed for him, and he said, well, they're telling me they're going to amputate my foot. So David and I cried out to God. His name's Randy. Randy came back to me 2 weeks later, showed me his foot, and it had turned white as my hand. And I saw Randy the other day at the park, and he said, well, next week was the date for my foot amputation, but now it's the date for my physical therapy to get my foot back in order. So that's really exciting. So I have another story. We got the pro and the con. Okay, so that's the pro. There's a wonderful brother in our church, Ed Montagna, who for the past 2 years, he was injured doing physical therapy. They did too much. He's had back problems before. Basically, there's a muscle that's compressed on his sciatica nerve. He comes in and out of pain all the time. We've prayed for him for 2 years, and he's not better. So what do we do? Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm just saying that that's reality for us. We wish every story worked out like Naaman. We wish every story worked out like Randy Allen, but it doesn't. And we're frustrated, and we ask God, and we say, Lord, tell us, you know, is there something else we need to do? Just Niebuhr felt God say, lay hands on him. If we all keep laying hands on him, we'll get better. Charlie responded in faith, organize some of you every Sunday to go and pray for Ed. That was good. He's still not healed. So in any of these situations, we have 2 options. One is lose heart and give up. Complain, get a hardened heart. How many of you like option A? Option B is we're honest with God. We tell him we're frustrated. We cry out to him. We're humbled. We're poor in spirit again. We're trying to listen, but we keep praying because God's a God of healing. And Jesus, you know, when Jesus cursed a fig tree and then it died, the next day the disciples pointed out and said, Jesus, the fig tree died. He said, have faith in God. You can speak to a mountain and it move. Wow. Well, we have to speak to mountains in Boston. We have to speak to mountains in the Muslim world. They're big. And it takes faith. And faith is something that gets worked into your life. So the kind of process we're going through is good. It doesn't feel good. It's frustrating. But that's how we learn to have faith. Can you say amen with me? All right. That's the message. Keep on believing.